Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the place to be if you are a sci-fi or fantasy reader. My name is Laura and I am your host. I am a reader, writer, and whiskey drinker here to share with you the person behind the page, the author. And today's featured author is Winnie Winkle. So Winnie Winkle is a fabulous Central Florida broad who swills bourbon, you know we'll get along. She likes dogs and cats and practices yoga, but not with any particular grace. A 30-plus year Florida resident, she prefers writing beachside as much as she can, because if we're bearing our souls here, the ocean is a mighty muse and there's only so much one can expect from coffee. I absolutely loved Winnie's book. It is book one in the record series, and you guys, I gotta tell you all about this thing. Two bars, one magical and one human, lie in the exact same space. That should work. It better. I run those joints and we're under attack. I live a pretty wild life, as in gods and speedos, powerful witches with little patience for mere humans, and shifters whose vibrations make my guts quake. Plus, an oceanside bar and a magical book run my existence. The record picked me, Cleopatra O'Keefe, to be the next keeper. I took over the book and started chronicling the intersection and occasional acinity of the human and magical worlds. That's when Eccentric plunked its butt on the deck next to mine, and we careened into the world of funky oddities seasoned with occasional mayhem. I've juggled the two worlds for almost 20 years, but my peer is under attack from the one entity feared by gods and magicals alike. Between slinging drinks, writing the history, and trying to keep the worlds in balance, I'm discovering that the keeper's job has way more depth than the magicals told me. Who's lying? Which bits are truth? I'm at a crossroads and it's time to make a choice. Toe the line and live, or save the world and die. Typical Tuesday. Oh my goodness, I love the humor in this book and all of the different type of magical creatures that come to life. And I can't wait for you to listen to this interview that I did with Winnie. So let's just dive right in. Hello, Winnie Winkle, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. How's your day gone so far?
Going great.
Good, good. I'm so glad to get you here to record this interview, and I'm so excited to talk to you all about your books. So we've got Boogie Beach. This is the book we're talking about today. But before we dive into that, I would love for you to tell us, how did you start your writing career?
Well, I actually have a couple of unfinished things from 20 years ago, because I started writing, it was made me very happy, but I had little children and that really didn't work. So those books got shelved and I don't know if I'll come back to them or not. My voice has matured. My writing quality and style have certainly matured, but they were interesting plots. So we'll see. But I really started writing in earnest. I was my mother's caregiver for 8 years. And when she passed, I kind of was at a crossroads. I was working a really high octane corporate job that was just eating my bones. And I had come into some money. This was my last surviving parent. And so I decided to just really sit down and take stock. And I did that for about 5 months. And I ended up selling my house and my kids were all launching. The youngest were going to college. And it was like, this is kind of a good crossroads. I think the universe is saying, take some time and think about this. And so I sold my house and bought a little place on the beach and moved over there all by myself. I didn't really know anybody, but I made a few friends and started to write. And the first book I wrote was really kind of, I need to deal with my grief. So I wrote a more of a literary fiction, serious book, and it helped. And then when I went down to the pier bar one night, because I could walk there to the Sun Gold Pier from where I live, it was a really good storm brewing. And just after I got in, the thing hit. And if you've ever sat in a pier bar during a storm, everything is moving. The whole place is rocking. And I'm sitting at the bar with my little salad with a piece of fish on it and a bourbon. And I'm looking up at the beer pitchers over my head. And I thought, that looks like magic. And then I had to fish out my phone and I sat there for four more bourbons and fleshed out characters and concepts. And I went home and cracked my laptop, which I don't really recommend writing drunk because I had to rewrite a lot of that the next day. But that was the beginning of Boogie Beach.
Wow, that is crazy. It's like you experienced what happens in the book. Because yeah, this book takes place
on a pier bar, and it's so cool because there's like two sides to the bar. There's the magic and then there's the human. So that was actually a question I was going to ask, is what was the inspiration? Well, you already answered that. And I love the drinking bourbon while writing. I obviously read it with whiskey. I drink me some whiskey when I'm doing my writing. And yeah, I have to cut myself off. Otherwise, it's just rewrite the whole thing.
Well, at least the back half.
Exactly. So you started this series and it's The Record. That is the series title. And so I would love for you to tell the listeners, what is The Record? What is the significance of the title of the series?
Okay. The Record refers to a book that comes in the very first book of the series. There's five written so far, and I will put out two more next year, and that should complete the arc. But the record is given to the person who actually understands that they're on the line between the extraordinary and ordinary worlds. And that person is the keeper, and she's my main character. Her name is Cleopatra O'Keefe. They also call her Patra. And the record is there for her to chronicle the line. At least this is what she thinks. And the first book is kind of her peeling back the layers of how big the snow job was on what her job should have been and what the magicals tried to manipulate that job to be. And so, you know, I like to write with a little bit of undercurrent. I write humor, but I like to put some little social threads in there where, you know, things that people encounter in their own jobs, the politics of work, or, you know, larger issues like racism or slavery could crop up throughout my books. And not in a preachy way, because that would interfere with the comedy, but more like gives it sort of a realistic base. The feet are in the mud and we laugh because our feet are in the mud.
Yeah. I love the humor in this book. And I also love the covers of the books. The covers of these books are so fun. They're so colorful and bright. And I hadn't read a comedy book in a long time. And I mean, I wouldn't categorize it as full on comedy, you know what I mean? But okay. I hadn't read something with so much banter and laughter within it. And I think that really helped me read really quickly because I just loved the witty banter between the characters and just the overall thread as well. Obviously, between human world and magical world, there's going to be some tension, and that's what we're finding out. That's what Patra is recording in the record. So let's dive a little bit more into the characters then. So who is your favorite character to write in this book or in the series as a whole?
I'm really enjoying Cleopatra, mostly because her character development arc has been kind of mind-blowing to me. I don't plot. I write fully pantsing, which I think helps if you want to write plot twists. It really helps when you don't have any idea where it's going either. They're a lot more
definitely.
But I also like the character of the record itself. The book matures from it. I wouldn't say matures. The book reveals from each book in the series, and it actually becomes a character in the. You know, where they stop being like, she's just the dumbass, and pardon my French, but I swear my books too, okay. So don't be alarmed. But she goes from really being a little bit clueless, and so I almost didn't write her as a blonde, and then I thought, it's the beach. Everybody, if they're not blonde, they got a bottle of peroxide and they're going for it. So yeah. I made her blonde, but because I didn't want to deal with that stereotype. And it's really hard to find art of intelligent-looking blonde women. It's we have stereotypes in every corner of our world. But I wanted to just really dig into her character in terms of her sense of personal line of demarcation. What am I willing to put up with, or what do I understand? It doesn't matter whether I put it up with it or not. And where do I actually have to draw my lines? Where's my integrity? Where are my feet? And so she's been great to write. The record has become less of a teacher and more of a we're in this together kind of personality in the book. Some of the others, I've been enjoying writing Chelsea and Glenna, the two witches that are the most prominent witch characters. Chelsea, because she's kind of a snot. And Glenna, because she's so intelligent, and I like writing really smart women who aren't anything but just curious. And that's Glenna to a T. She just wants to know why. Oh. And so she was a lot of fun to write. And her character is really prominently featured in book four. But Chelsea's development has kind of mirrored Patra's and gone all the way through. And Poseidon is fun to write because Poseidon's just a bit of an arse and he's just a Hinduist and you know, he just,
exactly.
He's just such a goofball. But by book five, you start to see some parts of him that you didn't realize were underneath all of that, you know, fra-la-la stuff that he pretty much likes to park behind him.
All that sexual tension that he's just throwing around. Oh, it's funny that you brought up Poseidon and Chelsea, because those were the two that I had really gravitated towards within the story. Poseidon, just because his personality, his complete disregard for others' opinions of him. I mean, he's a god. So he's like, I don't care. I'm a god. I can do whatever I want. But also it's like a new side to that like scary mythological god that you see in so many different mythological story books, where the god is the scary thing, the scary person coming to hurt you. But Poseidon is a friend and he's someone there who is protecting our main character and her world, essentially. So I like that you kind of put a spin on that look or that persona of a god. I thought that was really cool.
I kind of thought about them a lot in terms of how I wanted their voices to sound. And I figured that most of them are pretty freaking jaded. They're just like, they have just seen it. There is nothing new. And I thought I would be disdainful like Apollo, or I would, you know, just really not give a crap like Dionysus, you know, and I would be bored if I was Hades. And that pretty much was just the boat goes over and the boat comes back and the boat goes over and the boat comes back, you know? And so I thought, what do they do when they go to the bar?
Yeah.
And I thought, they're actually in a place where they're not normally. And so it's fun to think about how their personalities would shift from where they usually are and when they come out.
Exactly. Yeah. Putting all of these mythological creatures and people and all of these different types of characters into a bar setting is interesting, because it's like you go to a bar, you let loose, you have a good time. So seeing that within these characters is really funny. And Chelsea was my other one that I really liked, and I like her spunk. But speaking of the bar, I loved the concept or the content of the different drinks that our main character had to learn how to make, because she's human. And she has to learn how to make the drinks that could ultimately kill her if she were to drink them, because these are for magical creatures. Right. So where did that inspiration come from? And also, sub question, have you ever tried to like make a drink that looked like the drinks from the book, just out of curiosity?
Well, I'm going to take those in reverse order.
Okay.
I'm going to be doing a Kickstarter first to do a hardcover of Boogie Beach in April. And then in probably October, I'm going to do a Kickstarter to put that book into Audible. And one of the Kickstarter prizes I'm going to make that'll be exclusive to Kickstarter is going to be the cocktail book. So
I love it.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, because I don't really want to put like arsenic in it or anything.
Right.
But, you know, if I can figure out ways to make things make sparks or whatever, I'm going to try. I'm doing some research now.
Yeah, there's like edible glitter and things. You could probably throw something like that in. It'll make it look all wispy. And yeah. Oh, that's exciting. Oh, I'm so excited for that.
The cocktails themselves, I was kind of just, if I felt like I needed to put a recipe in, and I usually have at least one per book, I would just let that scene flow. I didn't do any research. I did know my character pretty well. And so whatever she was crafting for, like Hades drink shows up, I forget which book, 3 maybe. And that's a doozy. But I also thought that one was so good, I'm going to make that an element that interacts with other characters. And that part was fun. But most of the time I just kind of figure out who the drink is for, and I just let it roll and come up with how it's crafted. And sometimes it's step by step, and sometimes it's just a description of that drink for that customer. So
yeah, I love that. And that's your pantser coming out. I like to pants my stories too. Just whatever comes, and definitely gets difficult when you're doing series. So has that been difficult, writing 5 books in this series, trying to keep the thread going, or has it kind of come pretty naturally to you?
Well, what I do after the fact is I my editor and I share a document, and then we call it the story Bible, but basically it's just an ongoing what happened when sort of thing. So we know which which books drinks showed up in, how those drinks were made, who drank them or who ordered them. We know limitation. Like, the only way fantasy works is if there are rules that can't be broken. And so we keep track of all that stuff, because when I'm writing it, half the time I get through and I reread my first draft and I'm like, I don't even remember writing that. So
it was the bourbon.
But it's helpful for her and for me to make sure that the books are consistent. One of the things with independent publishing is that that's on you to do that. So if you capitalize something in book one and you lowercase it in book three, it's annoying to the reader who's probably binging, and it's sloppy. So that's why we came up with this thing. I mean, we cover a lot of different things and update it after every book, and it's helped a lot. Now, to write book six and seven in a 7-book fantasy arc, six is sort of your big all is lost thing, and I've been leading into that. So I'm going to actually reread my own work. I'll read all 5 books and update my story Bible as I go to make sure that I really am pulling threads through that need to be pulled through. And that that doesn't really interfere with my pantsing. I just write the book then, because I'm going to have stuff in the subconscious that's percolating. But then I've got a checklist to go back and say, I may need to alter scene 3 or 17 or whatever to make sure that thread pulls through, because I want it for the 7th book, things like that. So, you know, there's some discipline, but really only about that much, because I'm good with it.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you can't put too much discipline in it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fun anymore. Like, if I had a full plot to follow, my characters would be like, nope, taking a left, taking a right, not going to follow your plan. We're going to do what we want. So that's why I don't plot anymore, because that's what happened with my first book. The character took a turn right at the beginning and the whole plot was just thrown away. And so I like the story Bible concept. I've used those as well to make sure that you're keeping track of everything. So keeping track of everything, your world. So in your world, we have the human world, but then we have this magical line that splits it to the magical realm. And this bar has 2 sides, the human side and the magical side. And you kind of talked a little bit about where that inspiration came from. But is this, I would love to know, is this bar featured throughout the entire series? Yeah? Okay. And how is that, like, the building of that component? Because I feel like the location is a character of its own.
Yeah. Well, I decided that after the ending of the first book, Patra had really kind of said, this is the keeper's job, not what you told me. And so starting the 2nd book, I gave her some upgrades in her bar, like a transparent wall where she can really see what's happening, an extra access point in her office so she doesn't have to keep running outside to run back inside like she did in the first book. Again, those were little things that were in place that were almost disrespectful to her. They followed that whole sub-thread. And so, and it also made it easier to write it, because after you've read it a couple of times, you don't need to hear about her pounding around the corner of the building, you know? So the bark evolved a little bit. Chelsea starts to be, their friendship is developing and it continues to develop throughout the books. So that made it so she could have somebody else that would just during the daytime when she's, you know, you got to be mindful. This is a human being. She does have to sleep occasionally.
Right.
So Chelsea would kind of handle the bar a little bit for her more. And they started to have abilities where she could call her and things like that. So it got to be, the bar is evolving too, but it takes a while into the series before you actually see that that might not hold as 2 separate entities for all time.
Ooh, intriguing. Okay, so if you had to pick, what type of person should read this book? Who should it be? Who should read it?
I have a mantra that I keep on top of everything that I do. So it's over my annual goals. It's over my business plan. And it's that I want to write women who are strong and resourceful, and it's normal, because that's where women are free. So if you have an issue with independent women, you're going to hate my books. But if you are okay with the idea that when you elevate players to a level field, it gives you a lot of different cool opportunities for both of them to grow. It's not one rising so the other falls, but rather one rises and then they keep going up together. I want to build that kind of world. Then they can go up together. And I think that opens better dynamics for character development and dialogue. So as long as you're kind of interested in a very equal give and take and not any kind of weird social constructs that interfere with characters, I can't read a book where a woman is like young and dumb and stuck in the corner. That book is going behind the couch in a minute. But I think that the people who will like my book are the people who think the world is a little complicated and they want to suspend reality. They want to have some fun. But at the same time, I hope that what the people that come to read my book really just want to be entertained, because I'm here to do that first. And then anything else that's a little heavier or a little more thoughtful. And I get lots of reviews, so I know those threads are picked up on. But I think the bottom line is I'm a creative and I'm here to entertain. So I think if you're comfortable with an unusual construct of characters and you don't mind a little swearing, a lot of swearing, and a bunch of alcohol and occasional inappropriate sexual shenanigans, I think you're going to like it. It's a good romp.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think there's laughing, there's like concern and scary moments, like what's going to happen. So there's a bunch of different emotions that your reader will go through too. But I think the biggest one that I took away that I remember the most was being able to laugh out loud at a scene, because it's, for me, when I'm reading a book, if it makes me laugh out loud, I'm like, the writer did something right. Because, you know, if you're reading a book, you can see something funny, be like, oh, okay. But I actually had a few moments where I was like laughing out loud, and I really should have noted them down so I could remember exactly where they were. But I think that was my favorite thing that I took out of it, was the humor. I really liked the banter throughout. Okay, so as writers, we all start as readers. So I want to know a little bit about your reading habits. So what is your favorite genre to read yourself?
Well, I don't really have one.
I'm the same.
When I was my parents got divorced when I was 13 and moved to different states. And so I came into junior high school 6 feet tall and a sea of acne and an introvert. And I was bullied mercilessly for a year. And it was awful. I mean, I had a good teacher who had a finger on that pulse, but riding the bus was just a nightmare. And so between my teacher and the librarian, they really hooked me up. And I had the heaviest backpack in school because I read all the stacks in fiction in the eighth grade. I literally was reading 10 books a week. And wow. I mean, I was a sponge. I read everything. So I would say my reading tastes are not very narrow even now. I mean, what I like is what I try to write, which is a little bit socially conscious, pretty funny, fairly irreverent. And I mean, I read things like Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett. And I think that's kind of what I'm writing now is humorous fantasy. But that's not even a genre in Amazon right now. It's pretty. And so when I came out with my covers, everybody's like, but just urban fantasy, where's your, you know, swashbuckling chick on the cover? And I'm like, I'm really writing humor. And that's my covers are right for my genre. It's just that I'm out here all by myself on my little life going, hey, my book.
Oh, I love it. But it makes sense that you read a lot of different genres, because you've kind of put, like you said, your own spin to your book, because you have the mythology, but then you have the fairies and the shapeshifters and the traditional fantasy aspects that are all combined with that comedy. So I guess it makes sense that you read a lot of different kinds of books. So what was the last book that you finished then?
Well, I haven't finished it, but I am reading The Road to Me by Laura Drake, and I really recommend it. It's funny. It's poignant. She's a lovely writer. And so go, Laura, write some more.
You know. Awesome. All right. So how many books and works do you actually have published? Because you said there's 5, going to be 7 in the record. And then you have a few other series. So how many total are there in your backlist, I guess?
Well, right now I have 6 romances, 2 trilogies, I have the five published in the record. I have two science fiction comedies. One's publishing December 8th, so it'll be out by the time this airs. And book one is already out, and that's called Bongo and Delilah Break Daytona and Bongo and Delilah Crash Casadega. And I think book three, they're going to New Orleans. I just started it. I'm not really sure. We'll see.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'll put a link so everyone can find those for sure.
They were fun to write, and they're very snarky. I didn't want to write a romance, and I needed something light that and a little bit different than the fantasy. So this is a first contact, and it happens because of two women in their early 40s who are best friends and have been since high school. And one of them's getting a divorce, and they decide they're going to take a road trip to Florida from Pennsylvania and, you know, get drunk and find some hunks and kind of blow through these sadness, you know. Except they get picked by the alien as the first contact, and he's a little snarky, fun dude. And they're like, okay, now we've got this little green guy that doesn't have wear clothes, and we don't know what to do, and we're at a Cracker Barrel parking lot. So, Tennessee. And so they end up going to Daytona, and Delilah is a Southerner, and she doesn't cuss, and she's very proper. She's very street smart, but she's not, she's got manners because Granny would have beat it out of her otherwise. And Bongo is from Pennsylvania, and she's a scrapper, you know? So it's like, they're very different women, but at the same time that I really like the way I built the friendship, people get how genuine that is. They're tight. So they end up putting Billy, that I renamed the alien, whose name was like Bleeblerk, and now his name is Billy Bob, because that's a good Southern name, and they're in Florida. And so they decide to set him up he needs to meet humans. They're suffering an ecological disaster on his homeworld, and he needs to meet people and convince them to come back and basically sacrifice their life because they're not going to be able to return to help them put some fresh eyes on their problems before their planet tips. And so they set him up to be to work in a drag show because there he can wear a ton of makeup and costumes and everything else.
I love it.
And it, you know, it just goes on, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very respectful of, you know, these groups of people that he's interacting with. I really didn't want it to be cheap laughs. I wanted it to be fun. But at the same time, I always wanted to be an ally, and I always want to showcase the humanity when I can without being preachy or overblown. And I really think I hit that one perfect. So, and it's just fun. You know, you're going to get done and you're going to have laughed and you've got some endorphins happening and you're like, where's book two? So,
oh, I love it. Well, that's exciting. I know I had seen those books on Amazon when I went to look at your backlist, and I was like, oh, I want to go and read these ones now because it seems like it's mirrored, but in the humor of science fiction instead of fantasy now. So I like that you've kind of kept the comedy running through both. Well, this is Read It With Whiskey, and it wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So, Winnie, what is your favorite whiskey to drink? And you can say bourbon.
Well, right now I'm working my way through a bullet rye, which I like to drink on just like two cubes. That's a treat. I'd say right now that's probably my current favorite, but I believe that alcohol is worthy of morphing, so I'll probably try some other ones down the line. But I'm definitely a brown liquor girl. So.
Yes, yes, me too. Hence the podcast. I love it. All right. So where can readers and listeners find you and find your books and follow along with your author journey?
Okay. All my books and links to every retailer they're available on is on my website, which is wwinkle.com. So that's pretty simple. But I am available on all major retailers. So if you're an Apple diehard, I got you. And I'm on Barnes & Noble and Kobo. And if you're a librarian, first of all, you guys are the original subversives, and I love you all. Mm-hmm. I'm on Overdrive and Bibliotheca and Hoopla. So you should be able to find me and bring me into your august institution and share that with your patrons. So
awesome. And then how about social media? Are you anywhere sharing your writing process or doing anything like that on social media?
Oh yeah. I'm pretty active on Facebook because that's gray up there. But and I have an Instagram account that I'm working on. I haven't quite figured out all of the algorithms, but it's growing. Definitely. But for now, you can reliably find me on Instagram and Facebook.
Perfect. All right, Winnie. Well, thank you so much for being on Read It With Whiskey. I had so much fun chatting with you.
Well, I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad that we didn't have any more hurricanes so we could actually put it together.
I love it.
It's not every day that we talk about a comedy book, so I was so excited to have Winnie on the show. I think this was actually the first true comedy book and comedy author that I've had on Read It With Whiskey, so I had definitely the best time with Winnie, and you can find out all about her and her books on her website, and everything is linked in the description. So next week, we're going to be talking about why I interview self-published authors. I've talked briefly about this in the past, and most specifically back when I had a Patreon, what was that, a year ago now? So I wanted to bring it back and just fill you guys in on why I interview self-published authors. It's a really good, fun episode filled with some very interesting things from my past. So until then.
You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I'm your host, Laura Gentinen, and I want to personally say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would love to get to know you. Hop on over to Instagram and follow us at Read It With Whiskey. Please chime in on this episode's post, share it on your social media and with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.